Okay, so good morning again. So for those of you who were not connected before, my name is Emilio Sanfilippo. I'm a Studium Research Fellow at the University of Tours, and I'm affiliated to the program Intelligence to Patrimoine. And so together with Xavier Rodier, I'm co-chairing this this event. So FAIR Heritage, Digital Methods, Scholarly Editing and Tools for Cultural and Natural Heritage. And so I will now give, let's say, a general scientific introduction to this event. So what we're doing here, and what is the purpose of this conference, and what we would like to achieve by means of this event. So let me get control over the slide. Yeah, perfect. So first of all, when we at the beginning start thinking about the organization of this conference together with Xavier, I mean, we realized that in, let's say, heritage studies, looked from both a natural science point of view and a social and human science point of view, there is currently really a proliferation of both data produced by research efforts, but also digital resources like control vocabulary, tools and digital services, policies and practices by means of which we handle the data. And actually, it is not only a matter of proliferation, so the quantity of resources nowadays available, but it's also a matter of fragmentation, in the sense that each community is producing its own resources with only scarce interaction within each other. And this, of course, as we all know, can pose a lot of problems from a data management point of view, including data sharing and data analysis, indeed. So let's say that from a general point of view, the purpose of the conference is that of bringing together, of gaining together scholars and stakeholders working with natural heritage and cultural heritage, and to discuss together, to learn from each other, from the experiences that we already had, about how to deal with the challenges that we face in data intensive contexts. And so we give particular emphasis, even in the title of the conference, so the FAIR principle. So this is FAIR heritage, so in sense of the FAIR principle, because let's say that this principle do not come alone as an ISO, but from an implementation point of view, they come with a lot of technologies and a lot of approaches in the backstage, like semantic technologies, or link and open data approaches, or we hear a lot about interoperability and metadata. And so they really come with a lot of environments, which are nowadays quite used when we deal with data. And here, I mean, in these slides, indeed, you find some of the keywords that we found across the abstracts that were presented for this conference and that we will discuss during these 2 days. Now, to say something general about the FAIR principle, I mean, I'm sure that this is already state of the art, what I'm going to say here, but just to give, let's say, a general, to contextualize, let's say, the conference within the scope of these initiatives. So first of all, as you know, the FAIR principle were for the first time discussed in 2014 in the context of a workshop which was held in Leiden in the Netherlands. And the idea was indeed that of setting up a principle and good practices by means of which stakeholders and scholars could discover, access, integrate, and reuse the vast quantity of data produced in data-intensive science. After that, there was this paper by Wilkinson and colleagues published in 2016. In scientific data, where they really published the FAIR principle and start discussing them from a more application and implementation point of view. So let's say that the four foundational principles are the following one. So F for findable, A for accessible, I for interoperable, and R for usable. And here the ideas are indeed quite intuitive. I mean, we want the data, and not only the data, actually, people working in the FAIR community, they talk of digital objects, in the sense of data, but also algorithms, software, services, I mean, everything that we need in order to handle the data. So these digital objects, they have to be findable, so we need to search them easily, possibly on the web. They have to be accessible in the sense that we want protocols to access them in a universal, in a free way. We need data to be interoperable, which means from both a syntactic point of view and a semantic point of view, so the meaning of the data has to be clearly stated, in order for machines and for human to access them in a very clear way, to understand them in a clear way. And they have to be reusable in the sense that we do not want to reinvent the wheel every time that we need to write a piece of code or every time that we need a certain piece of data. Then these four, let's say, foundational principles are specified in 15 more specific principles. I will not go through them. I mean, here, at the end of the slides, you would find some references. And so you can have a look at them if you are more interested into them indeed. Let's say that from a general point of view, to give some general remark about them, I mean, what is important to stress is that the FAIR principles are domain independent in the sense that, at least in principle, they can be applied to any type of scholarly outputs. They do not prescribe, let's say, implementational choices in the sense that you can adopt them while implementing them with the technologies that you wish, even though nowadays there are some technology which are more used than others, I will see. And they are not a standard in the sense of an ISO standard or a European standard or a web standard. They are just, they just provide, let's say, guidance for managing data indeed. Okay, having a look, let's say, at something more specific from an implementation point of view, for instance, the findable principle, it's nowadays commonly implemented by attaching to digital objects persistent and global identifiers, which means that by means of, for instance, a URI or by means of a DOI for scientific papers, for instance, you can always retrieve, you can always easily retrieve the data, the digital resource, the digital object that you want. Another, the F2 recommendation also, digital objects are usually published on the web with semantic annotation by means of metadata vocabularies, which is very useful when you want to retrieve information, okay? And nowadays, I mean, there are a lot of metadata vocabularies, as you know. Dublin Core, I mean, it's probably one of the best known examples. And the FAIR sharing, it's a repository where you can browse existing vocabularies indeed. I mean, the slides will be available at the end of the day or maybe even during the day. So you will have the possibility of clicking on the links if you want to explore a little bit the material that I'm presenting here. Concerning accessibility again, I mean, here the idea is that of having standardized, free and universal protocols, for instance, by means of which we can access all this information. I mean, while preparing this talk, I mean, I read this paper by a Lanmon and colleague where they say that in the case of natural science museums, 115 European natural science museums, they were using more than 100 commercial and in-house solutions for publishing data. And of course, what the authors say in the paper is that this makes quite difficult, I mean, the extraction of data or the automating processing of data, because of course, I mean, you need to have access to the commercial technology. And sometimes from a research point of view, actually not sometimes, most of the time, from a scientific point of view, you do not have the rights to access the commercial information, the commercial technology. This is why here, the principle, it's really stressing the relevance of having something free and universally implementable. Okay, free in the sense that even people who do not have a monetary access, they need to have the rights of accessing the data, and universally implementable in the sense that the protocol should not depend on a specific community or on a specific country. Okay, so it has to be open for people to be adopted. Interoperability, I think, it plays quite an important role even in the context of this conference. And here the idea indeed is that of having let's say, approaches and technologies and languages by means of which we can make easier data sharing and sharing data, especially between a community and between applications, okay? And I mean, everyone working with technologies, with computer technology knows how difficult can be sharing data in a meaningful way. Well, from an implementation point of view, let's say that this is nowadays mostly done by means of semantic web technologies and semantic web languages. So the result description framework, it's, as you know, the basic model for representing the data. And then when we move to RDFS and the ontology web language, the web ontology language, then, I mean, we abstract to the level of knowledge representation. And again, I mean, from a vocabulary point of view, from an ontology, if you want, modeling point of view, I mean, we really have nowadays a wide spectrum of model available, from, let's say, flat list of terms to highly axiomatized ontologies. And I will give you some example in the next slides about some existing resources for natural and for cultural heritage. And concerning reusable, again, I mean, here, from an implementation point of view, usually digital objects come together with licenses, which tell to other people how to reuse existing material. So, for instance, in the case of academic research, what is usually suggested is the public domain dedication license, which means that everyone can reuse what you are developing. And it's also a good practice to detail the provenance of the digital resource. So, for instance, by documenting who produces that, in which context, or by which funding organization, and so on. And the prop template here, it provides, let's say, some of the basic information that one should always use when publishing digital resources on the web. So it helps you, it provides you some kind of guideline about the material that you should not forget, again, when making something available on the web. Okay, now to say something very briefly about the FAIR principle at the European level, I mean, they play a quite important role nowadays. Indeed, there are different initiatives which really promote the adoption of open science principle and the FAIR principles. And probably the most notorious example at the European level is the European Open Science Cloud, which is, let's say, a framework aiming at developing an infrastructures for sharing services and for sharing digital resources developed in research context. So I strongly rely on linking open data technologies and semantic web technologies. And it's really ultimately aimed at developing an infrastructures by means of which you can share all your resources with your fellows, and also to make them sustainable. In the sense that most of the time, a problem that we have when we do research, as you know, is that we develop our resources in the context of a specific project, and then we do not have the funds, we do not have the chance of supporting them anymore. So by publishing at least some of our results on the European Open Science Cloud, there is we have an increasing chance of making them sustainable in the long terms. It's a very interesting project. I would really recommend you to explore the website and the portal to look whether you can interact actually with this initiative. There is also another, in this framework, there is also another interesting project, this one which is called FAIR to FAIR. And here the consortium is really supporting people who want to adopt the FAIR principle and want to move, let's say, everything within the spectrum of this new digital cultures, if you want. So again, I mean, this is also something which I would recommend you to explore if you're interested into that. I mean, this is the declaration of the European Open Science Cloud. I will not say anything specifically about that. It's a very short document. And so again, it is something that I would recommend you to read. What I found interesting while I was reading it is that the European Commission is presenting open science and the FAIR principle as a kind of revolution in the way we handle data, in the way we manage data. So, for instance, the fact that all our, all the products of research, they should be open by default, okay? That they should make available in a trusted data repository, which would ensure, okay, the long-term sustainability of digital objects. This is basically what I was saying before, and what is actually achieved by means of the European Open Science Cloud platform. What is also quite interesting is that they stress the importance of having skilled people being able to work with data, not only from a data science point of view, so let's say from a data analysis point of view, but in general. So what it does it mean to make data interoperable, or what does it mean to share data, taking into account, for instance, privacy issues and so on. And it's also quite interesting that the document stressed the fact that open science and the FAIR principle are not only relevant from an academic point of view, but they also do play a role for enterprises. So we should also try to have people working in enterprises involved into this idea. And concerning the semantic layer, I move to the next slides because there is another document published in the context of the European Commission, which is called Turning FAIR into Reality. And again, you can explore it by clicking here on the slides. And here they really stress the relevance of everything concerning vocabularies, ontologies, metadata specification standards by which we can make interoperability and reuse at a good scale. And this is, a kind of a very interesting message for the purpose of this conference, because, I mean, of course, here we are quite interested in working with data and working with models by which we can publish the data and we can make them interoperable. Okay, so now moving to the conclusion of this part, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, I would like just to say something about the FAIR principle in the context of natural heritage and cultural heritage. I mean, of course, I'm not giving here, let's say, a state of the art of the domain. It's quite broad, and there are a lot of publications nowadays available on the topic. And again, you will find something at the end of the slide. Let me stress that there are a lot of initiatives and consortia available which promote research and training models covering the FAIR principle and the idea of open science. And for instance, in the context of cultural heritage, Daria is probably one of the it's a well-known example. In the French community, Humanum, it's also a very well-known example, and Xavier will talk about that for sure. And in the context of the natural sciences and life sciences, you also have a lot of different initiatives. There are also available repository and web services where you can explore data and existing vocabularies. For instance, for the natural sciences and for natural heritage, the BioPortal, the AgroPortal, the OboFoundry, they are very well-known example where you can explore existing ontologies, for instance, or existing metadata vocabularies in general. And the same for cultural heritage. So Biblissima, Ariadne, Bartok, DataBNF in the French context, they are all available platform where you can explore data and vocabularies by means of which you can handle this data. And of course, ontologies, I mean, they do play an important role. So there are a lot of them currently available. And during these 2 days, we will hear about them. Actually, the very first session of the day, it's about ontologies, I would say, in general. In the context of natural sciences, the gene ontology is commonly considered as the most successful example. It's a quite interesting project indeed. In the context of cultural heritage, CyDoc, it's probably one of the most known ontology for managing data indeed in this domain, but there are others and we will hear about some of them again during this conference. Okay, so here you find the references. I think that this was all for my side and now I leave the floor to Xavier. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Emilio. So now I will shift to the point of view from the MASA consortium. MASA is created in 2012. MASA is one of the 8 consortia set aside by the very large research infrastructure Humanum. MASA was born from the experience acquired by and within several contributors to French archaeology, in particular in Maison des Sciences de l'Homme, INRAP, and the Frontic Network, in processing the documentation produced by archaeologists. MASA's partners have pooled their skills to meet the needs of the archaeological community. the main issues raised concern the use of the digital technology in archaeology, and therefore the good practice to be deployed in order to ensure that digital archaeological data can be used under the best condition. Of course, this data processing involves online publishing and feeding the semantic web with heritage data, on more particularly archaeological data, respecting the fair principle. The issue of data interoperability was raised from the beginning of the MASA consortium on the experience the work carried out by European programs such as Humanistica and the Human and Social Science or Operana for Cultural Heritage. As obviously, several other references to guide the work of the MASA consortium. More pragmatically, French archaeologists felt more interested in the work carried out by the Ariane program, in which INRAP has been involved since the beginning. The Ariane platform has shown great interest in making archaeological data interoperable by aligning them with recognized standards, like AAT from the Getty Museum, Periodo, and GeoNames, for example. And by mapping the data with the ontology of CDOC CRM, a conceptual reference model perfectly adapted to cultural heritage data. For this reason, the MASA consortium and the Swedish FHS consortia, as a representative of the CNRS, have joined the Ariane Plus program. Today, MASA is connected with the main European network on infrastructure about digital data, digital humanities, and the digital heritage, directly or via Humanum. In the framework of the MASA consortium, we assessed the status of our dataset according to the five-star load on the FAIR principle. This assessment demonstrated the older the dataset are, the less they comply with the FAIR principle. The FAIR evaluation helps us to identify gaps to be filed in some of our data sets. For each data set, it is possible to show its state of progress in the FAIR principle. With the online publication of data sets, databases and archaeological archives, the MASA consortium gives some guideline on of good practices to follow the FAIR principles. To the same, data management plan was defined and is now available on the DMP OPIDOR, as you can see on this slide, for the archaeological community in French and now in English. Facing a wide variety of format and content of heterogeneous archaeological databases, prior work is therefore necessary to make these databases standardized and interoperable. We use common gazetteers that make it possible to consider linking this data on the semantic web to document them with new metadata where appropriate, to enhance them and to facilitate access while ensuring their sustainability. The choice of the CDOC CRM ontology has imposed itself as a pivot at the heart of the system. In order to meet this need expressed at the different stages of data set processing, MASA created its toolbox by supplementing the existing ones through developments when there were obvious gaps to answer specific questions. I will come back some of them later. So MASA consortium proposed to the archaeological community, to the French archaeological community, a process of data manipulation from acquisition to publication, according to a systemic approach that respects the FAIR principle. The MASA ecosystem is composed of bricks of archiving and sharing archaeological data sets. Once processed, documented, and standardized, the archaeological data sets are put online according to the standard in force, like XML, TEI, EID, EAD, and so on. Standardized gazetteer and use for spatial, geoname, temporal, periodo, and descriptive pactols via the open Tezos manager. I come back later on this one. Information, the online application Open Thermaline manages the alignment of dataset vocabulary with the standardized tesory and generates a source file of the aligned vocabulary. The Open Archaeo platform ensures their interoperability in a MASA Trapite store and allows their interrogation via a simplified interface that translates requests into Sparkle according to a generic model for mapping archaeological data with the CDOC CRM ontology. To document each step of this process, MASA develop an open guide, a platform to publish guideline. The Logistructurator tools is helpful to write a logistics way and offer the matching to inference with the CIDOC CRM ENF extension on the reasoning. The alignment of our vocabulary with the standard tesory seemed essential to us, and we explored several possibilities. If the Getty Museum AET seemed to us to be an attractive option, he had the flaw of not offering a French translation and dealt relatively little with the vocabulary of field archaeology. The thesaurus that interested us to the most was pactols developed by the Frontic Network with the advantage of being multilingual. Initially, this thesaurus was dedicated to the indexing of historical and archaeological publication. But in its scopes has grown quickly over time. Pactols is now widely used in the, to index any data in the field of cultural heritage. Like the AET, Pactols does not necessarily have the required vocabulary to index field archaeology data. However, thanks to the Pactols enhancement policy, and so thanks to the involvement of the Frontic Network within the MASA consortium, it is possible to, for us to enrich Pactols with the vocabulary that may be lacking. In addition, it's now being restructured according to the DIA backbone thesaurus model. The Pactols thesaurus is associated with the development of a very useful online tool, Open Teso. It is a thesaurus manager that enables us to navigate through the various Pactols thesauri and see on their aspect hierarchical position in the thesaurus, links with the Wikidata on Wikipedia, permanent identifier on several transactions in addition to this first function of thesaurus exploration. Open Teso offers several web services that enable Pactols to be interfaced with local application or CMAs. The matching of dataset vocabulary with standardized thesauri can be achieved through the online application Open Thermaline, which generates a source file of the aligned vocabulary. Following the aim of providing tools for archaeologists in order to help them to improve their data and bring their dataset to the semantic web, The MASA consortium has developed Open Thermaline, a web application that enables the alignment of poorly structured or not structured vocabulary with the standardized thesaury. Marion Lamy, in collaboration with Federico Ponchio from the CNA in PISA, developed these tools during a postdoctoral position in Tours. Open Thermaline has been tested with PACTOLS on the various archaeological vocabularies. It offers the possibility to store the anti-alignment process in a source file, which can then directly interface with the concerned applications. So this simplifying both alignment updates and the enhancement of the reference thesaury with new vocabulary. More and more projects have been older data sets with the CyDoc CRM for interoperability purposes. It is now necessary to have an intuitive search tools to explore these interconnected data sets. The MASA consortium proposed that OpenArchaeo can be these tools for the archaeological community. It provides an online interface for querying several archaeological data sets, meeting the needs of a user-friendly query interface. The use of external thesaury, an API for web services which, with a Sparkle endpoint. Thus, OpenArchaeo is a way for exploring data from distributed autonomous data providers without duplicating all the data by loading it. OpenArchaeo was developed in Tours by archaeologists of CITER and the computer scientists of the LIFAT with the SPARNA company for the MASA consortium. Olivier Marley will present tomorrow in detail OpenArchaeo on the SPARNatural component now used in other domains. So I'm just giving a quick overview here. Inspired by the research phase developed by the, at the British Museum, OpenArchaeo provides a graphical interface with a system of icons has been set up to identify the main components of the archaeological data. The choice of this thematic entry level in the CDOC CRM corresponds on the one hand to the desire to address the archaeological community directly, and on the other hand, not to go to the highest level of each data set in order to mainly to maintain a level of generality necessary and sufficient for interoperability. This is the main difference with research space was entry into an ontology is at the much higher level than SYNC, for example, like a SYNC, for example. OpenArchaeo enables users to format their requests in a simple way without having to know either to entire properties of CDOC CRM or the structure of the system. The Sparkle query that corresponds to the sentence visually built by user are automatically computed. Thus, the user does not need to know the underlying model of the Sparkle query language. OpenArchaeo released on MASA trapezoid used as a repository for several datasets, but OpenArchaeo also queries other external trapezoid. Thanks to the query federation, OpenArchaeo returns all the results in an homogeneous way. The standard visualization is a table of results. If the results are geolocalized, they can be shown on the map. By clicking on the URI of a result, the user can open the online page of the resource and can consult its detail in the original database. Of course, OpenArchaeo is enabled to, in other way, providing tools for application to query data set via the integrate access point in this way, program in Java, PHP, Python, and so on, can use OpenAQRO Sparkle endpoint to automatically compute statistics on the participating data set, or verify periodically the updates in data set, and more generally, perform any query that could be built in the user interface. So OpenAQRO enable experienced users to interactively explore the data set with their own Sparkle queries. Before I stop, I just want to mention the last two bricks of MASA digital ecosystem. Logisys Writer on the one hand, which offer an aid to the logisys writing as defined by Jean-Claude Gardin in the 1670s. MASA has contributed to publication of the first excavation monograph in logisys format recently published. This is the excavation of the Rigny Parish Center, edited by Elisabeth Zadorayou. This publish is entirely digital and entirely at the logisys format. And on the other hand, Open Guide, which is a sample online application in XML TI to submit and share guidelines. The tools proposed by MASA for archaeologists have a wider echo in the fields of cultural heritage and in other disciplines of the human science. Open Archaeo, in particular, should be deployed as part of a Franco-German project in the Sancti Martinian community, and as part of the scientific project on Notre-Dame de Paris that Livio De Luca will talk about tomorrow. The final ambition is to be able to modestly contribute to the feeding of a sector of cultural heritage in the linked open data. So now I give the...
Okay, so to conclude the introduction, as you realize, the conference, as we say, the conference is organized in the context of the studium of the Intelligenze Patrimoine and the MASA Consortium. So this is why, it has, let's say, a strong reliance on the FAIR principle. This is why, we try in this introduction to bring together, all the pieces, at least for giving you a general framework of what we are doing at the University of Tours and in the research context of Tours. So concerning now the conference, just to tell again something briefly about it and what you would like to do here, it's that we would like to discuss together about our research work. So discussing, about the state-of-the-art approaches and technologies for handling data in the context of cultural and natural heritage, discussing together the challenges that we are facing nowadays, by discussing also the challenges that we envision to address in the next future, including environmental concerns, for instance, for data storage. Okay. And so ideally, of course, we would like also to meet fellow, in the sense to come to know about interesting projects, and possibly also to contribute in strengthening this interdisciplinary research community. So please do not be, shy, do not feel afraid. Even though the system might seem a bit complex to use, it is not complex at all. So if you have questions or if you have comments, anything, raise your hand and we would like really to interact as if we were in a more normal, situation. So in the website, in the call for abstract that we publish, you find specific research questions that we would like to address. So concerning, for instance, modeling ontologies, spatiotemporal systems, and so on. Here we just put a list of questions concerning the FAIR principle. And so what we would like to hear from you during the discussion, it's also whether, for instance, the FAIR principle do make a difference for you, whether they are adopted in your research community, or for instance, how do you measure the fairness of your digital object? I mean, this is a quite important point because, of course, we can all claim to adopt the principle, but then how do we measure the fairness of our resources? We would like also to hear from you whether you reuse some kind of you rely on some kind of infrastructures in order to publish your to make your resources available to others. If you have projects to maintain and to sustain your research. Whether you adopt metadata vocabularies, including ontologies, and what are the lessons that you learn from them. I mean, sometimes people are completely upset from the use of semantic technology. In some other cases, they're really enthusiastic about them. So I would like to hear from you what is your experience about all of this. And for the conclusion, I mean, even though we are at the very beginning of this conference, I mean, let me thank all the equipe who is behind the organization of this conference. Of course, Xavier and I are only, let's say, at the very end of this process. But there are a lot of people that you would like to thank, of course. I mean, Damien Bourpillon, who actually is the person who gave the title to this conference, FAIR Heritage. And it's also supported us a lot during the organization, and he's also responsible for the poster of the conference. Laurence, who is really managing all the technical aspects of this conference, providing Zoom access and so on. Maureen Villiers, at the Studium, who is really supporting in managing all the logistics together with Sophie, Gabier, and all the team. And I don't know whether I'm missing anyone else, but there are a lot of people in the backstage, and we are really grateful to all of them for this great experience. If you have some questions for concerning this very first presentation, concerning what we said, or concerning what Xavier presented about the MASA Consortium, otherwise we can do a break and we will start.
Can we ask directly via mic?
Sorry, there is a question. Maybe we can. Yeah, can you repeat, please?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
George Brusaker. I was just, if there's time, if you could say a few more words about Open Guide. Sounds interesting in terms of communicating modeling decisions.
Yeah, thank you, George. I don't speak more longer about Open Guide, but it's just a simple application. When we can submit a draft of a guideline, and the application transform it in a TEI XML TEI format. And we can produce a PDF, HTML for the web, and so on. So it's not a real editing process, but just a simple tools to make and to share some guidelines on the good practices.
Sounds like a good start. Thank you.